Mike, I want to give you a little quick, two things actually. Y'all believe that? Pray for Sheila, my wife. She's home very sick. She's got every symptom you can care to mention, and she's been very, very sick for the past 3 or 4 days, and I want to ask you to be sure that you pray for her. Also, give you an update about the Alpha Ranch out in Asheville with Gary Levert. You know, we're trying to help them with their concerns. You know, his entire ranch was just devastated and gone. I was out there Thursday, and there's a big giant concrete slab where his workshop used to be, and it looked like somebody just poured it and ready to build. That's just how bad things are. And Lord willing, we're going to try to get a team out there this coming Saturday to work. So we would encourage every one of you, men and women both, if you can come to be a part of that. And we'll be sending out some details on phone messages as the week progresses. Also, please don't forget to remember the 24 to Double ministry program that we're in the second month of. It's tomorrow night. We'll be leaving around 5:30 or 5:45, somewhere along in there. We'll wait as late as we can. I've mentioned this to some of you personally, but any and all of you who feel led to go, we want you to come be a part of this. It's a 24-month program, and it's still plenty of time for any and all of you who feel led, and only if you feel led, I might add, to get involved with it. I'm not here to coerce you into anything. I'm here to just give you the opportunity that if God leads you to and burdens you about this, this is a fantastic program. I believe in it wholeheartedly, and if you want to be a part of it, God wants you to be a part of it, you ought to let me know. Speaking of Gary Levert, I mentioned a story that he shared with me Thursday. You know, they need everything. And he said this man that lives across the valley somewhere, very wealthy individual, called him up and made this grand show of offering help. And see, just so you'll know, they're going to be cutting their own timber and the lumber and the whole bit, you know, and building. And so this guy has all this equipment in the world, and he brought Gary and toured through his big shop, and they had all these beautiful tools and things, you know, that Gary would just love to have. And took him down to the end, and he said there were some old table saws and planers and all kinds of stuff that, you know, just worn out, hadn't been used in 20 years. And he said, "Now you can have these." And he made a big show about giving him a check. "We want to give you a check so we can help you get going." And you know, the check wasn't much to it, and it just kind of broke Gary's heart to see people with so much who are willing to help so little. And so that kind of got me to thinking about things, and I have a question I want to ask you this morning that I dare say you or I, neither one, have ever asked ourselves before. But I'm not quite there yet, so allow me, if you will, to build my case just a little bit, okay? Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here this morning, other than myself, have what we'll term a seasonal wardrobe? I'm going to see your hand. If you've got your winter clothes put up, let's see your hand. Be honest. Okay. You know, a lot of times we don't recognize, in fact, we don't really know how poor we have it and how bad off we are until we go shopping to find out. We don't realize just how poorly dressed we are until you go to the mall and find out, you know. And I think for probably most of us in here, you know, I wanted to ask this question, but I won't. But I thought about how many times will you and I change clothes today? I mean, we're really casual around here, so I suppose you could quote unquote wear your church clothes all day if you wanted to, but probably not. You're going to go and put on a t-shirt and a pair of shorts And then if you're going to go play golf, you put on your golf clothes. Or if you want to go play tennis, you put on your cute little tennis outfit. Don't you love these women that go through the mall in their little tennis outfits, you know? You'll put on your tennis outfit. Or if you want to go fishing after a while, you're not going to go fishing like this, you know. I hope to go, by the way. But, you know, how many times just today will we change clothes? You see, we have extra. And, you know, it's sort of like this. We'll take a car that runs and go trade in on a new car that runs. got four wheels and a steering wheel, and it go about 100 miles an hour. But we traded in on a new one that'll got four wheels and a steering wheel and go about 100 miles an hour. Or we'll trade in our cell phones. Now this is one I don't do. We'll trade in our cell phone that works, and you can call anybody around the world with it if you want to, for a new phone that works, and you can call anybody around the world with it too. So the point I'm trying to make here, I guess, is that we have extra. That pertains, at least, to the question that I'm going to ask you here in a few minutes. Well, if you hadn't figured it out yet, Lord willing, for the next two Sundays, we're going to talk about money. Now, before you start throwing your hands all up and everything, I know and I recognize that money is personal, and money is very emotional. Money is stressful to all of us, I suppose. You want to get a good argument started between husband and wife, just say the word a lot of times, you know. Y'all are laughing like y'all are, never mind. I'm already in hot water. And by the way, let me share this with y'all. I don't preach about tithing all that often or money. It's been close to a year, so probably. So I'm due, just so you'll know that. I'm due. So because money is personal and stressful and it's emotional and all those things, and because probably most of you are already thinking, this guy's about to get all up in my business. Probably some of you are thinking, this guy's going to get all up in my business. Well, you know what? If that's the case, then let me share with you a few things about me and my business. Okay? If I'm going to be talking to you about your money and your business, I think it's only fair to be an open book and tell you about my business and my money, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the big blessings in my life, and some of you, maybe not many because it's getting fewer and fewer things, but some of you know what I'm talking about. If I want to blame somebody on the way I handle money, you can blame my mom and dad, because they're the ones that taught me. Okay, that's where I get all this crazy thinking from. It's from them. So just so you'll know that when I was born and raised in church, y'all know that. When in 1982, when I became a Christian, I looked at my wife Sheila, and she was in full agreement. Thank goodness. I said, look, we're going to tithe. And so he said, well, there's just no way. And I can, you know, you've heard this part of this before. There's just no way. I mean, we look at what comes in and we look at what goes out, and there's no room for it anywhere. I said, well, we're going to do it. And the one and only time we haven't tithed since 1982, you've heard this story before too, was when our refrigerator broke that week and it cost us to the dollar what we should have been giving to God. It cost whatever our tithe was to fix the refrigerator. And so help me, that's the truth. So, but I want you to understand something, that what I do and what Sheila and I have agreed to do is that we give a biblical standard of 10%, just like scriptures tell us to do, off the top. And not only that, we give an extra $200 a month just because. So, and that's just the way it is. And can I tell you something? I did mention this not long ago. I want you to know something. The only bill we've ever been late on was because the Aniana Gas Company didn't send us our gas bill one month, and we just didn't think to pay it. And that's the truth. We've never been late. Now, I'm going to tell you what else. I'll tell you something that's really crazy that we do. I mean, this is crazy, crazy. We live on a budget. We know what comes in. We keep track of every dollar that goes out, and we know where it goes. And when the money for that particular period of time is spent, we stop spending money. I don't have any credit card debts. I have a rule in my house. There's only one thing that I'm really hard and fast about with my wife is this. You can have all our credit cards there are, but they will all be paid off at the end of every month. And so just so you know, that's me. Call me crazy, but that's me, and I don't really care who knows these things. It's the way I was brought up. It's the way I was raised, and I have found almost without exception, I have found it to be the best way to live. best way to stay out of trouble, the best way to stay out of debt, and the best way to have some creditor knocking on my door or the phone ringing in the middle of the night giving me some kind of threat. Because I'm just liable to threaten them back. I had a guy, tell you a real quick story. About a year ago, we had granite put in our kitchen. And this big old guy put it in. He was supposed to be a preacher. And he didn't do a good job, and I kept calling him back. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, I'm kind of like an old dog sitting on the front porch. He said, I'll leave you alone. But he said, you kick me? And he said, I'm going to bite you. And I said, well, let me tell you something, big boy. If you bite me, I'm going to bite you back. So that just lets you know that's just who I am, okay? That has nothing to do with anything, but that just came to me, so I thought I'd share it with you. And he could have probably turned me every which way but loose because he was twice my size, but I still didn't care. Okay, so that's about me and my money. Now, before we go any further with this whole deal, let me share something with you. And this is a point that I've got to labor. I've got to get you to understand and believe this. First and foremost, everything belongs to God. Now, does anybody have a problem with that? Because if you don't, we have a sticking point here. But everything already belongs to God. It's not that it's going to or it needs to at all. It does. Let me just share this with you. Take your next breath of oxygen into your lungs without God's help and see how far you get. And that holds true to anything and everything else. So the first premise that we have got to get to here and understand this, that it all belongs to God. Put up the first screen for us. So what we are, you see, the problem is there's two key words I want you to remember, and only one of them is on the board up there. The problem is ownership versus stewardship. So we're going to start with stewardship. Being a steward is one who has been given something valuable. You've been given life. You've been given everything that you've got. And you know what? Well, Brother Marco, I earned that. Well, you may have worked for it, but God gave you the ability and the time and everything else and the opportunity to work for it. So it's one who has been given something valuable. And then here's the key. And then we have been entrusted to use it rightly. We have been given something very valuable. That's our very life, just for starters. And because God gave it to us, God gives it to us with the understanding, hey, I'm going to trust you to do what's right here. Remember, God, love can never be forced, and God is love. So He's never going to force any of these things on us. Do you know, if you've ever been out of this country, you know the only time in my life that I've ever really felt rich was when I was in another country. Donnie West will remember this. We were in Ecuador on a missions trip, and I forgot one evening when I was brushing my teeth, and all I did was stick it under the faucet. We had bottled water everywhere. All I did was wet my toothbrush. I was green as a gourd for the next 24 hours. Now, this was water that came out of the tap. When we got ready to go home, we all brought home a whole lot less than we brought with us because we were literally giving our clothes away to these people. So it goes back to begging this question that I'm getting ready to ask you. And I'm just building my case for it. But to understand, I was rich out of my mind down there. I had things that I took for granted that they probably will never have. I mean, just consider running. Well, some of you know, you got your own stories. You understand, you know what I'm talking about here. Put the second one up, Madison. Here is mine and Sheila's philosophy of money. And next week, we're going to get into the math of things next week, Lord willing. I hope so. And we're going to discuss this. But if you want to know a three-step premise of how to handle your money, or how I think is the right way to handle your money, is to give and to save and live on the rest. Now, that is an earth-shaking idea in this world that we live in. You know, for college students, just let the outside world know that you're in college somewhere, you'll get an offer from every credit card company there is to get you started on what they consider to be the right road, which is actually the wrong road. Give. And it's in this order, too. Did I mention that? This is the descending order upon how I believe is the correct philosophy for our money. It's to give, and to give first. And then secondly, save and say something for yourself. And then live on the rest. That right there to me is as simple as it gets. And it's as easy and it is simple. It's not easy, but it is as simple as that. Now for the big question. Here it goes. Go, Madison. Ask yourself, why do I have extra? Well, it's easy to feel like we don't have extra, but you know what? We all have food to eat, and we all get to live indoors. Don't we? If you don't, you need to come talk to me if that's true for you. But we all get to eat, and we all get to live inside. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Have you ever stopped and said, why do I have extra? Where did it come from, and what am I supposed to do with it? Now, before you answer this question, remember something. Remember a key element in all of this. Before you answer this question, remember, you're not an owner, and neither am I. Now, you've got to get to this, because this is the rub. This is the friction. This is where we kind of lose people. Oh, yes, it is mine too. My response to that is, oh, no, it's not. So remember something, that you are not an owner. We're going to read here just how easily and how quickly these things we think we own can be taken from us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start reading in verse 16. But to set this up, this is a parable. All you know what a parable is, don't you? This never really happened. It's a story Jesus just made up to prove a point. Okay? That's what a parable is. But understand, there's a world of truth in this parable too. And it happened because as Jesus is going about here, someone in a crowd screams out to him, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to invite his inheritance with me. Or the inheritance with me." I'm kind of thinking in my mind, Jesus probably sort of stopped. He just went, ugh. Somebody in the crowd just yells out, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me." Well, that's a pretty good thought. You know, if you got it coming to you, and your brother's stealing it from you, okay. And can I tell you something, when I give you Jesus' answer before we read the parable, can I tell you something? I'm still not there yet on this answer. I'm praying and working on it, but I'm still not there yet, because the man said, "Hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide this inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said, "Watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Well, I'm thinking, this is where I'm not there yet, because I'm thinking, is that greed to want what you got coming to you? Your brother's stealing your inheritance or your half of it? Is that greed? Well, I don't know, but I tell you what I do know is Jesus went on to say that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Ooh, boy, I love Jesus. He has the coolest way with words of anybody. And he just simply said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So to explain that sort of, Jesus tells them a parable. Now here we go, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And let me say this. anybody of all people on earth, who is the one person on earth, first and foremost, who is the most dependent upon God to earn a living? It's a farmer. If it don't rain, the crops don't grow. If it rains too much, they drown and die. And if it comes time to harvest the crops and it comes a monsoon, they don't get to harvest them. And you know what? The farmer has no control over any of those things, does he? So, and there again, that's just the coolness of Jesus to me. He picks the perfect guy here to give the illustration. Okay, I interrupted myself, didn't I? That's one. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I will store all my grain and all my goods. Now, let me stop and interrupt myself. Number two, let me say this. If life was just possessions, the man's got a pretty good idea. Got to put them somewhere, so hey, rip these babies down, build some big ones, everything's cool. I can sit back and notice what he goes on to say. And then I'll say to myself, you've plenty of good things laid up for many years, so just take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now comes the two biggest words in all of the story. Verse 20, but God. Okay, you go, here comes God. He's going to mess it all up. I got this perfect life planned. I got all my possessions. I'm going to build these big barns. I'm going to lay around, you know, and sip suds and watch TV the rest of my life. But God said to him, you fool. That's about as strong a word as you're going to hear Jesus use just about. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And here comes the telling question. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who's going to get these things? Who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And now in verse 21, now listen, these are red letters. What I always tell you, if the letters are red, what do we need to do? Listen up, Jesus is talking. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Ooh. Now does Jesus saying there, that's what happens to anyone who stores up riches for himself and stops? No. No, not at all. I'm going to be brief this morning, will you? Y'all believe that? Listen, Jesus is not after your money. He don't even live here anymore. He don't even live here anymore. He's not after your money. You know what? Jesus, to my understanding at least, never took up an offering. I don't think he ever passed the plate. But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this. The direct and straight route to my heart and yours is through our pocketbook. Ouch. God wants your heart, not your money. You know, just a timeout side issue. For those of you who've been around here a little while, go outside and look at the dirt work that is being done right now. Excellently, I might add, for nothing. Not a dime. Well, that's an outright lie. We bought 2 20-foot sticks of 12-inch pipe to put in the ground to drain some water off. I forgot about that. Those guys have been out there with dump trucks and loaders for 2.5 weeks, working 8 hours a day. We didn't even have to pay for the fuel. Y'all remember Isaiah 65:24? If you don't look at it right now. Write it down, take it home, go look at it. God don't need our money. Can I just tell you, let me just be real blunt here with you. God don't need our money. He simply knows that our money is a direct path to the thing He does want, and that's our heart. It goes directly. It's just like the Monopoly game. You got to pass go and collect your $200. You got to go right through the pocketbook to get to the heart. Maybe we wish that weren't so. Maybe we might hope that that's not so. It doesn't detract from the fact that it is so. Open your Bibles back up if you closed it like I have. And let's look at and we're going to read a little more about this next week, Lord willing. But look at verse 34 in chapter 12. Because we don't have time, really, to do it justice any other way. I believe Jesus said it better than I did. Don't you? Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So remember where your treasure is. You know what Jesus is saying? Where all your stuff is. All your stuff. Your cars, boats, campers, cell phones, clothes, shoes. Girls, I'm not even going to ask you how many pairs of shoes you got in your closet. I'm not even going to ask you. I just go look at my wife's closet and I go, have mercy. She's got them listed. She's not here today, so I can tell her all kinds of lies about her. She has them listed. She has these little sticky things of what it is on every and on her shoebox. So I'm not even going to ask you girls how many pairs of shoes you have. Last time I checked, you can't wear one pair at a time anyway. Well, let's get this over with because we still got next week to dread. I'm kidding. Nobody thought that was funny but me. Y'all may tell y'all a joke. I heard a good joke, but I can't tell you right now. See, this is my type A kicking in. You see, where your heart and where your stuff is, that's how we know really and truly where our heart is. Just the way it is, and it's just the truth. So I've got three things here to mention to you, then we'll close. First of all, every one of us in here have spending habits, don't we? And I'm not saying that that's bad. Let me tell you something. If you are rich towards God, and I'm not saying that, the Bible did. If you're rich for God, you can go trade in your new truck. You can go get you a new truck every 12 to 18 months for all I care. And so does God, probably. But we all have spending habits. We all have that spot where we will fudge and spend more money than maybe we really ought to. That's why I like to stay out of Academy and Bass Pro Shop. This is no joke. I was at St. Vincent's Medical Center East. I don't remember. One day this week it was, and you know what? I can't remember who I went to see at this very minute. But anyway, I pulled up and I thought, well, I got a few minutes to kill. I'll just ease on over to Academy. And I said out loud to myself, no, you're not, because you'll buy something you don't need. So I didn't even go. But we all have spending habits, is my point. We all have them. And they're good. They're okay. That's not a bad thing. We all have spending habits. Some of us may, including me, we need to work on some of them maybe. But we all have spending habits. I think we can take number one for granted. We got them. Number two, and this is one of the things I really want to key in on next week when we talk about this thing of why do we have extra. Number two, we all have spending habits and we all ought to have saving habits. That's where I want to talk with you about next week. That's one of the primary things. There's nothing wrong with planning for retirement. There's nothing wrong with saving money. As a matter of fact, I will just let me go on record as telling you something. You ought to save money. There was a time in our life, you've heard these stories, so you're tired of hearing them, I know, but when Sheila and I, when we were in our younger years, and Brooke was just a little baby, literally, we had $40. I got paid every 2 weeks. We had $40 to live on for 2 weeks. That was gas money, too, by the way. Eating out money, fun money, and fishing money. But we saved money even then. Let me tell you, you'll be amazed, and I'm getting way off track here now, but you'll be amazed how well money grows when you save it regularly. So we all have spending habits, and we all need to have and ought to have and should have, and you need to get one if you don't, a savings plan. We'll talk about that. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? All have our spending habits. We need a savings plan. But let me be honest with you, okay? Because I do love you. I joke around a lot, but I do love you. If you don't have a giving plan at the end of your life, it could end up just like the guy in the parable of the rich fool. And Jesus looked at him and he said, well, you're going to die tonight, big boy, and then who's going to get your stuff? You see, we have extra. All of us do. And we have extra for a reason, because we're stewards. We've been given and we've been blessed by these things by God with the understanding and the thought from God that we're going to use it rightly. We all have extra. So, share this in closing. I know you're glad. If you have a spending plan, if you have a savings plan, but if you don't have a giving plan, listen to me. I don't want to say these things lightly, but if you don't have a giving plan, you are living your life, regardless of what you believe, regardless of how hard you pray, you are living your life as though all that money and all that extra is just for you. And can I tell you something? Can I tell you again, because I love you? It's not just for you, and it's not just for me. But if you don't have a giving plan, you're living. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care what you do. And you know what? Pretty much so, I don't think God really cares either, if you don't be being honest with you. Because what you're showing from your heart is this. It's all for me. It's all for me. When the truth of the matter is, it's not. Last thing I'm going to say is this. There's an answer to this. We'll talk about this next week. The answer to this is to be a consistent percentage giver. Now, we all know what the word tithe means. We all know all about all that kind of stuff. Well, okay, so what? Maybe, probably, some of you here think, that's too big a jump for me. I can't do 10%. I'll say this, if you do, God will bless it. God will honor that and bless you for it, without exception. But if you can't, that's okay. Then start somewhere. Pick some grandiose figure like 3%. Because the only way, the only answer, listen, church, the only answer to this is consistent percentage giving. And then you work your way on up. And let me tell you something else, and this is just an opinion of mine, but I think I'm right. Anything other than that is just a gift anyway. It's just an offering. It's not a tithe. So I'm through. I'm finished for today. I covet and beg your prayers for next week. Mike, if you guys want to come up and lead us in a song of invitation, that's great. I'd ask you if you would just bow your head. Maybe God's speaking to your heart here this morning, and just maybe you need to come and kneel at an altar and pray and just consider how much, if not already, how much of a percentage you feel like God's worth. So stand together with me. I'm not going to keep you for just another moment, but I would be in error to close this out without giving you an opportunity to respond. So if you would, just grab somebody's hand close to you and bow your heads. Father, thank you for speaking through me here this morning. And Lord, I pray that though I fumble and stumble, that you make your truth, and that you make your point very clearly in our mind. Lord, that we are not the owner. As a matter of fact, I'm just now reminded of the truth in your word, where it says that we are not our own, that we've been bought with a price.